You're listening to the Wave Express podcast, delivering everything you need to know to stay safe and profitable out on the road.
Well, good morning, audience. We are privileged to have a distinguished gentleman with us this morning. Mitchell Gibson has joined us for the podcast today. And Mitchell, welcome. Welcome to the podcast recording. I'm honored to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Mitchell, I'm going to start off with a couple general questions just sort of to guide everyone into our conversation here. You have been involved in this trade for several years.
Yes.
When did you start off in this?
August 11th, 2017.
So you were at CWRV at that time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you transitioned to Wave Express?
Yes.
You've been with us since we started, basically,
yes.
2019. Well,
yes.
Started as Wave Express is now. Cool. That's some experience, man. You
yes,
give us something
is.
To talk about.
Yes,
I love
it.
In that amount of time, now, you did commercial driving before
yes.
coming into RV transport.
Absolutely.
And I know you did that for a little while.
Yeah.
About how many miles?
24 years, 3.8 million miles.
Goodness sakes. So if anybody knows anything about commercial driving, sir, it is you.
Yes.
I love it. 3.8 million miles over 24 years. And since you've joined our trade, you've done over a million miles.
Yes.
About a million two, I think.
Yes, a million two.
Okay. Well, congratulations. That is an amazing resume and worth celebrating. So we really respect guys like you and appreciate that you'll come in and share some of that wisdom with the rest of our crew. On that note, Mitchell, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is you've a long time ago, you were a rookie.
Yes.
And I can say the same for myself. I'm not trying to
Absolutely.
Age you. But you and I have been in this. You're still driving. I'm in the office doing
yeah.
paperwork and stuff. But you're out still on the road doing the job
Absolutely.
Of transport. And I want to ask you, what does it take to really generate a margin, a profit margin in this? So a lot of rookie guys are in this. And they're new to it, and they didn't have 3.8 million miles, and they might struggle a little bit in the beginning. What coaching would you give them in terms of the steps to take toward higher profitability?
I would say be willing to pull anything, anywhere, at any time. You know, if the load's on the board, don't turn the load down. Look for reloads. I picked up a reload yesterday that goes all the way to Florida.
From where?
From Wauconda, Illinois.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And it's a home delivery, and so just be willing to run anything, anywhere, anytime.
Now, people probably already guessed this based on your resume, but you possess a Class A CDL.
I do.
Mitchell, how is that serving you?
That served me real well because you can pull. You're unlimited as to what you can pull.
Your choices are wide open.
Yes,
choices are wide You don't have to open. Think, oh, can I do this with
right.
my license?
Exactly.
You can just do it.
You can.
Now, some guys who do not have a Class A CDL, guys, gals, I use the term guys for every human being, FYI. Some guys hesitate or are not sure they want to upgrade to that credential because they think, in my opinion, erroneously, they think, well, if I have a Class A CDL, they're going to expect me to do all the hard stuff.
Yeah, but that's a bad assumption, you know.
But why is it bad?
Well, because they assume that the big stuff is harder on your truck, and it's really not. Your truck is designed for that.
Do you know how hard it is to convince people of that? I've been saying that forever. So
yeah.
here's what we're talking about. If you take a, let's say you take a stout fifth wheel somewhere, a Montana or, you know, one of those larger fifth wheels, you're moving down a road. You've got inertia. You've got something that's a little slipperier through the wind than a big box. That's a, you know, campsite reserve
sure.
or some type of a travel trailer. And with the latter of those two, with a medium-sized travel trailer, you're buffeting in the wind. That wind is trying to take that inertia from you at just about every other second. And all of that buffeting gets absorbed by what?
By the truck.
The drive line of the truck.
Yes.
The harder job, so here's what I'm asking you, Mitchell. If you're pulling the big fifth wheel through that
right.
gusty wind,
sure.
That is actually less detrimental
oh,
to
yes,
your truck.
Oh, yes, it is, because of the aerodynamics of the fifth wheel.
Counterintuitive.
You in the wind.
Thank you. Sorry for
yeah.
a minute. Counterintuitively, you'd think that smaller trailer would be the easier job.
Right.
But you're a kite. you're pulling a sail.
You are.
And you're catching every burble.
All the wind.
Your truck is absorbing that, you know, through all, throughout the, basically throughout the trip.
Sure.
The fifth wheel, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's a joke. I mean, it's a big load. But as you mentioned, the truck is made to pull it. And once you're underway, that inertia is your friend.
Yes, it is.
The shape of that trailer is your friend.
Exactly.
So you with the Class A CDL, who had the option to take that load when some people didn't, you're running down the road making money and,
exactly.
and not necessarily destroying your truck if you're driving
right. Exactly right.
And I really appreciate you bringing that point up because I have tried unsuccessfully to convince people of that, and they kind of look at me like I'm selling them snake oil. I'm not. I'm trying to sell them top-line revenue enhancement, which ultimately is what's going to make your business.
Yep.
Anyhow, so thanks. I appreciate that point of view. That is, especially with your experience, you know, if anybody knows the difference between working hard and working smart, it's the guy with 5 million miles sitting here telling me that the Class A CDL is the right way to go. So I appreciate that very much.
As a matter of fact, with the, when I bought the 16, I looked for the biggest stuff I could pull. Did a whole 603,000 miles. And I thought it's time to upgrade, so I did upgrade. Mm-hmm. And like I say, I pulled the biggest stuff they had.
That's a nice...
And you know, and the amazing thing is, when I traded the truck, I changed the oil every 10,000 miles. I never added one drop of oil or transmission fluid to this truck the whole 603,000 miles.
Sounds like you knew how to drive it.
Yes.
That's impressive. So you took that truck to 600,000 miles.
Yep.
And that's not a record. That's impressive. That's that's quite an accomplishment.
Yep.
We have guys who crest over 1 million miles on their trucks.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like you said, you upgraded at that point. But you got to 600,000 miles without adding a single drop of fluid in between service intervals.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes.
And I'm imagining it's because when you had those larger loads, Mitchell, you knew you should start a little slower.
Yep.
Stop a little slower.
Yep.
And en route, you had the advantage of all that inertia working for you.
Exactly.
I hope people are listening to this. I really do. Because every single person involved in this trade, if they're serious about making the most, needs to go get upgraded to a Class A CDL.
Yes.
And be willing to do what you told us, the voice of 5 million miles, do whatever, whenever, wherever. That's how you make it.
Sure. And you know the fact of a Class A CDL, if you have a Class A CDL and this thing goes out, then you can move up to a tractor trailer truck, or you can do hot shot. You can do, there's all kinds of things you can do with a CDL.
The world is looking for you.
The world
when you've got a Class A CDL.
And like I say, and it's unlimited as what you can pull.
Understood. That's awesome. I'd like to talk a little bit more about how you got that truck to perform so well for you. About what was your service interval when you did change fluids?
Change oil every 10,000 miles. I changed the fuel filter. I changed all the filters. I changed the front end, rear end, transfer case every 75,000, and that's about it.
What you're telling me is you stayed ahead of the curve.
Oh, yes.
You were aggressive on preventive maintenance,
and
you kept the bad things from finding you.
Absolutely.
In terms of maintenance glitches.
Absolutely.
I love it. And so that, you know, everything you're describing, and the voice of your experience is just so invaluable, everything you're describing, to me, I can put in a big bucket, okay? And that big bucket is this. Use your time wisely.
Sure.
Time is your most perishable inventory.
It is.
In most things, but especially in this, because you're trying to cover miles.
Yes.
And to do that requires time.
It does.
And if you sit around or if you miss a day here or there just because you were indecisive or because you let something get loose on your truck, that's an inventory you'll never get back.
That's right.
It's the most perishable inventory you have. And you're telling me how to use it wisely.
Yes.
With the right driving credential, the right way to attack preventive maintenance and own it and stay ahead of it so it doesn't own you and shut you down and take your production away.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mitchell. That is music to my ears. You have no idea. Talking about your work with the office team, with the dispatch team, you have a reputation for being very helpful.
Yes.
Do you experience reciprocity in that?
No, I mean, you know, the thing about it is, you scratch my back, I scratch your back world. But beyond that, you should still be the type of employee who is willing to do anything to help the company. because they in return will always help you whenever you get in need.
I've spent some years in dispatch myself.
Yep.
And what you just said rings perfectly true.
Sure.
When I have a guy who said yes to me, even once in a while, okay, you don't have to say yes to me every day, but you say yes to me on some of the hard jobs.
Sure.
You think I'm going to forget that?
Exactly.
I am not going to forget that.
Exactly.
And when those cool opportunities come up, who am I calling?
Me.
Mitchell Gibson. That's
yep.
right, because you were there for me in my time of need.
Exactly.
That is exactly how this business works.
Sure.
And it some of the best advice I personally would give to the rookie driver is yep. show up to do what Mitchell does.
Yep.
Anything and everything
exactly.
that is needed. No, don't, you know, the guys are going to hear this and think I'm trying to feed them to the wolves. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to say, be a team player. Once
yep.
in a while, a little other centeredness goes a long way and distinguishes you from the pack who's thriving on self-interest only.
Exactly.
And self-interest has its place. Don't get me wrong. But when you transcend that and become that other interest-focused individual, man, your value goes up fast.
Yes.
Thank you for endorsing that idea, Mitchell. That sometimes that's a hard sell too, because
yep.
when we talk this talk, people think we're going to try to send them to the Bronx in New York City or someplace tough. That's not necessarily the case at all. A lot of times when you hear, like, I'll talk to drivers and they like to go long west or they like to go south. That's cool. I understand that. I mean, I like those things too, but they're terrified of the Northeast because it's congested. And it's I don't know what they think, crime riddled or whatever it is. The fact is, when we go Northeast, we don't go into downtown Boston. We go to a suburb where
yep.
the retail sector is, and we deliver to a store anxious to get that, and they know not everybody likes going there, and they're usually pretty cool about it, in
yes.
my experience.
Yes.
Does that
they
ring
are.
True for you?
Oh, yeah, that's true for me, And attitude, I think attitude has more to do with it than, attitude toward what you're doing. If you like what you're doing, and then that helps your attitude. But attitude, is everything in this business.
You ever get bad attitude from a dealership you're delivering to?
No, I not really.
Well, you are lucky.
I learned that a smile is the same in any language.
Love it.
And so usually if you go in with a smile, and if they're having a bad day, give him your paperwork, go back and set in the truck, and then they'll come to you when they get done. But I haven't really had a bad experience.
I appreciate you sharing that because, number one, I do believe you're in control to a large degree of
yes,
it.
Yes.
But secondly, I want people to know that pathway is out there.
Sure.
Right? Where
you
come correct and you are appreciated.
Yes.
Not every day does it work that way. Some guys are going to come correct and they're not going to get a warm welcome.
Right.
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 And how do you recommend to them that they handle that?
Well, if you're having a bad day, don't make somebody else have a bad day. For a minute, hey, man, smile, be nice, and then go back to the truck and have your bad day.
You show up to a dealership after you have fought through weather, traffic,
oh, yeah.
every form of delay
sure.
imaginable.
Sure.
So you are that stallion
sure.
of a driver.
Oh,
you got the load done,
yes.
and they're not very nice to you when you show up.
Yeah. Well, that don't keep you from being nice to them.
Amen.
Life is... 10% of what happens to us, 90% of how we deal with it.
Spoken by a 5 million mile man. I'm loving it. Mitchell, one thing that you do that I think is so cool is you use our trade to support something else.
I do a ministry over the road. We put Bibles, Bible tracts, preaching CDs, whatever we can get our hands on, all over America. I just went to Washington State, picked up a big shelf for a guy that I had delivered equipment to in Mississippi. So get a load going to Washington State, go down, pick this shelf up in Mount St. Helens, go to Idaho, pick up a camper, going all the way to Riverside, California. It's closer to Mississippi from Riverside, California than it is from Boise, Idaho. And I get paid to do the ministry that I love.
That's amazing.
With pulling campers. Sure.
And that is a very special and sacred mission that you are on, and I recognize that and respect that.
Yeah.
But that is not the only type of thing that could be supported. We've got guys that do some travel for business, and they harness this to help fund that.
Yes.
And I love it. I mean, that I want to be used like that. Supplement yourself. I mean, use our trade, our sector, as a supplement to whatever else you got going on.
Sure.
I think sometimes people think we may not like that idea. Like, we want this to be your only thing, your sole source or whatever. Not the case.
No.
We love it when this is a supplement to something
else. Exactly.
Are you experiencing that, Mitchell?
Oh, I love it. Yes. And you know, the neat thing about it is, even if you're a sightseer, you just, you know, I deliver a camper, I got to come back. Hey, I'm going to go. I want to go to Mount Rushmore. I want to go some other place. This affords you the opportunity, because with a pickup truck, you can get into places you never could with a tractor trailer truck. I have probably been to every major park, most of the major parks in the United States, just drop by for a few, you know, few minutes. So if you love sightseeing or whatever, this is an awesome job for that.
You know, it's funny, sometimes in our advertisements, we'll say what you just said. We probably don't say it as good as you do. We'll say, get paid to see the country.
Yes, absolutely.
But you're saying, even if you don't have some other type of commercial enterprise happening,
yeah,
you're going to get paid to see the country.
Yes, absolutely.
And that has some serious value.
It does. It does.
I appreciate you sharing that. And I really, hey, thanks so much for doing that ministry you're doing too, Mitchell, because I know you're touching lives out there. Any of us who've worked out on the road know it can get lonely.
Sure.
It can get weird.
Sure.
You can encounter some darkness.
Yeah.
And guys like you come against that.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it.
And you know, I really have a good network of people that I work with. Just like now, I've got 37 cases of New Testaments in the back of the truck given to me by a print ministry in Michigan. All I got to do is go pick them up, and these are going to the flood victims in North Carolina.
Wow. Are we going to help you be able to do that?
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm going to Florida, then come back to South Carolina, drop them off.
Yeah. Wonderful. That's wonderful. You said something that I think is, again, like you normally do, Mitchell, you said something that I think is incredibly valuable, and I hope people picked up on it. You said you had a network.
I do.
One piece of advice that I think you will agree on that I give to new drivers all the time.
Yes.
Do not let this isolate you.
Exactly.
There's no reason to be isolated. You need to know people
who are
doing
you
this
do.
That you do. Can talk to about
and,
stuff.
And wherever I'm at, you know, my father-in-law used to say, boy, you could go downtown New York City and find two people you knew. but through this ministry, I have got people all over America that I communicate with. I probably have 300 phone numbers in my phone. I've got a whole book full of addresses. And, you know, most people go out, the only thing they see is the white line on the highway. And if that's all you ever see is the white line on the highway, it's going to be a long day. You know, you need to, hey, take the time to smell the roses.
That's for sure. So I totally understand what you're talking about as you describe your network, which is robust.
Oh, yeah.
As a result of the ministry that you do. Even if it's a little simpler than that, even when you're involved in anything, whatever the enterprise may be, in our case, it's commercial transport.
Sure, sure.
I think it is wise beyond words to know other people doing it.
Because
they're going to have experiences you don't have.
Sure,
and you may have a dumb question that you don't want to call and ask Mike Miles, the general manager. You may want to ask somebody who's in the trenches with you the answer is, right?
Yes.
And when you have that network, when you've intentionally created contacts out there in the world who know what it is we're doing and are doing it themselves, you have a resource.
You do. And you know, one of the neat things that we do have is WAVE drivers, transporters, site on Facebook.
Okay.
And so, you know, normally there'll be guys on there asking questions.
Good for them.
If you got a problem, you know, this guy over here broke down. So, hey guys, I'm over here broke down. Anybody in my area? Sure.
So social network platforms.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's
like,
good.
Like what, you know, you mentioned one. There's a bunch of them.
Yes.
That can be helpful. But
Absolutely. Also
just going out of your way. I know when I was new to this thing, and I'll use an example. for my personal experience. I was at a shipping yard one day for one of our competitors. It wasn't Wave. It wasn't Horizon. It was Quality Driveway. I worked with them for a few years back in the day. And I'm at Quality Driveway shipping terminal in Goshen. And I see somebody coming out of the yard with a school bus, and there's a little car stuck to it. And I thought I was looking at Dr. Seuss come to life or something. I'm like, yeah. I didn't even know you could do that. Yeah. I'm watching a school bus tow a little car. Well, I have no idea how that's done, Mitchell, at that time.
Yeah.
So I ran that guy down. I'm like, hey, whoa, dude, can I look at what you've done here? Because I don't understand it. And he stopped, and he was proud of the hitch system that he had assembled on the frame of that bus.
Sure.
And how he had tapped into the wiring without messing anything up. And he was, yeah, so he was honored by the fact that I approached him and asked him something he knew that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Guess what happened next?
Yeah.
I pulled little cars behind school buses.
Yeah.
I opened up
exactly.
a whole new
exactly.
revenue stream for myself
exactly.
just because I took the initiative to go, hey, that guy knows something I don't know.
Yeah.
And I got with him and kept him as a contact. He became one of my most valuable contacts.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I still have a contact all the way out into Arizona of a guy that drove for Wave or for CWRFD. He's retired now. But we send Bibles over into Mexico.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, so Mitchell, hey, if I've failed to ask you a smart question or two, is there, so we're talking to an audience of contractors, people like yourself doing the work you do. Anything else you'd like to share with them in terms of how to make the most out of this thing?
Well, always be willing to help your fellow driver. A few weeks ago, I was in Topeka, and a guy trying to get in, he's trying to use his driver's number. Mm. And so I go and show him where he's at in the phone, where it's at in the phone.
In his confirmation email.
Yeah. So he said, oh, man, I would have never got in if you hadn't been here.
You've been pushing
so,
numbers all day.
Always be willing to take a minute or whatever how long to help another driver. And I'm real big on pictures. I mean, if you look at all the pictures I send, so if somebody asks me, well, what do you suggest here? I've got a system that I use, and I never deviate. Figure you out a system, never deviate from it, because if you do, sometimes you can make a mental mistake, and a mental mistake can cost you. Have one way that you do everything, like when I get to the dealer, I've got a set of cutters. The first thing I do is go get the plate, put it back in the truck, but even hooking up, have one way that you do everything. And so there'll be guys there, and I say, okay, look for all the critical areas, and if I do a critical area, and then I walk back and then I'll send you another picture.
You know what we call that? SOP.
Yeah.
Standard operating procedure.
Exactly.
Standardize
yes.
your operating
yes.
procedures
yes.
and you'll make fewer mistakes.
Yes, you
by
will.
Far.
You will.
I
you
totally
will.
Agree with that. I'll give you an example. One I used to do, well, I still do if I'm pulling one of my own trailers or something, but one of mine is if I put an insert into the receiver,
yep.
I also have to do two more things. I have to put the pin and a retaining
yep.
pin.
Yep.
And I am so ingrained in that is not a one or two step process. That
exactly.
is at minimum a three step process.
Yes.
And if one of those steps is missing, I start getting jittery, like, oh man, I know something's wrong. What am I,
yep.
and then you re
sure.
that you look at it again. What did I forget? Oh yeah, I gotta put another pin in there.
Yep.
And never, I hope, pray, would I not install that hitch correctly, because in my world, in my being, if there's a step out of it, I'm out of whack, man. I can't move on to the next thing because
right.
I'm busted.
Right.
That's what an SOP
exactly.
will do for you, right?
Sure.
Same way with a coupler. You put a coupler
yep.
down on the ball, you stick the pin in.
Yep.
If that second step is missing, you don't move on.
Right.
You can't. Your inner workings won't let you, because you've standardized a procedure, and it's when it becomes a habit, a good habit, it's
sure,
hard to break.
Sure. And I even use the fold over locking pin, and I put my cable to the breakaway cable
mm-hmm.
and the electrical cable and attach it to that.
Yep.
That way it's
keep
not
it from dangling.
Keep it from tangling going down the road. Sure.
Right on.
Sure.
I love that. That is yeah. excellent counsel, Mitchell.
Sure.
And once again, from a voice of a 5 million mile man, standardize operating procedures,
yes.
especially related to safety.
Sure.
Going to
sure.
keep you out of harm's way.
Yep.
Outstanding. Mitchell, it's been an absolute joy talking with you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You'll probably be invited back if that's all right.
That'd be fine.
We'll do another podcast soon.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Absolutely. Appreciate the voice of experience and wisdom from the road. And God bless you in what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Thanks, Mitchell.